A very good morning on behalf of Teach 613. We welcome you to Take 10 for Talmud. Yevamos Chav Vav, Yevamos 26a, pagination is 51, starting from the Mishnah, one line from the top. We're dealing with cases that one person was influential in getting a woman free to remarry. And we said that that one person who was so influential in getting her to be able to remarry, would not be able to marry her. We gave examples in the previous Mishnayos of a chacham, a sage, who ruled that there's some issue between husband and wife that can't be resolved, and he's going to be forced to divorce her. So the ruling over there was that that chacham, that sage, cannot now go and marry that woman who becomes free on his ruling. Likewise, a person who is mevi get, a person who brings a bill of divorce from a different place, and it's based on his declaration, befanai nechtav or befanai nechtam, that it's a good get, that the get goes through, the divorce is effectuated. Or we spent a bit of time of Hameyid Beisha Lahasiya, a person who said testimony that the husband is dead and the woman should be able to remarry. These are cases where one person was very influential in getting her free and available to get married, and therefore we were told that they themselves cannot go and marry the woman. Our Mishnah presents two specific cases that it's going to be okay for them to marry the woman. Says the Mishnah, V'kulam, all of these men that we discussed, Shahayu lahem noshim, if they had wives at the time that they said the testimony, Umesu, and now those women died, Mutarusli nase lahem, they would be allowed to marry the woman that they influenced regarding her availability to get married. This concept is predicated on a basic principle that even though biblically a person can have two wives, but the assumption was that if a person had a wife, that he was not saying testimony to free a woman with the intention of a whole calculation of how he was going to end up marrying her. The assumption was he's stable in his marriage and his testimony is accepted. And if later his wife dies and he wants to marry that woman that he was influential with, he would be allowed to. Likewise, the Mishnah mentions a second case. V'kulam shenisu la'acherim, all of these women that we've been discussing, all of those applications, if they got married, v'niskarshu oshenis almanu, and now they got divorced from that new husband, or that new husband passed away and she becomes a widow, mutaris linase lohem, at that point, she would be allowed to marry the witness, or the chacham, the person who was influential in getting her free. So we have two cases here, and the Gemara will elaborate on each. Again, one case that the person who was influential was married at the time that he said the influential statement, and the second case that the woman went ahead, got married, and now she's free coming off a different marriage. The person of influence would be allowed to marry her. Says the Gemara, six lines from the top. Mesu in Niskarshulo, only if the person of influence had his wife die, but if he would divorce her, then it would not make him allowed to marry the woman that he freed. Amale Rav Hillel Rav Ashi V'atanya Afilu Niskarshu. We learnt even if he were to divorce his wife, that concept that he was married at the time that he said his statement of influence is sufficient to allow him to marry the woman that he freed. So again, the Mishnah only mentions if his wife dies, but it seems from this statement, even if he would divorce her, as long as he was married at the time of influence. And the Gemara answers, Lo kasha, we can resolve this. Hoda havoi ketoto. One case is that there was an argument. It was a rocky marriage. So he was married. We don't assume that he's saying testimony or making influential statements with intent to take another wife. He's married. We assume that the marriage is a marriage, even if it's a little bumpy. But it did have arguments, and therefore the resulting divorce that comes later can be attributed to those arguments, and we do not attribute the divorce to the fact that he has his eyes on this other lady. But the case where we will not allow him to marry her coming off his divorce is that there was no argument between the husband and wife until after the statement of influence. And then we attribute the divorce to his having his eyes on this woman. That's the first approach, as Rashi explains it. V'iba yisema, but if you want, we can give a different answer, which is the reason and the explanation that's brought in halacha. There was no argument between husband and wife before this statement of influence. But there's a very simple difference why sometimes divorce will allow him to marry this woman that he influenced, and sometimes divorce will not allow him to marry her. Velokasha, hada argilhu, hada argilahi. It depends if he's the one who picked the fight, or she's the one who picked the fight. And the assumption in the Gemara is that it could be traced who started the fight, which came after the statement that influenced that other woman. And if he did, then we will not let him marry her as the result of his divorce. But if she's the one who picked the fight, then we do not attribute the divorce to his statement of influence, and we will allow him, not only in the case where his wife died, but also in the case where he divorced his wife, if she clearly was the source for the divorce. Again, it's a remarkable concept that the Gemara feels that this is traceable. I think many people involved in marital counseling find that it's quite difficult to untangle the arguments, but the Gemara says that would be the resolution between the statement of our Mishnah, which only allows him to marry her if it's the result of his wife's dying, while the Braisa said even if it's the result of a divorce that he's available, he would be allowed to marry the woman whose destiny he influenced. Let's continue regarding the second case that would be permissible for the person of influence to marry her. V'kulan shenisu, if she got married already and now she's coming off of that second marriage, either the result of death of her second husband or divorce from her second husband, the person of influence could marry her. Says the Gemara, Kasalka Daitach, originally we thought, Misa Amisa, Vigerushin Agerushin, that she's coming off from the death of her second husband after a testimony regarding the death of her first husband. And likewise, she's coming out of the second husband's marriage as a result of a Gerushin, after she left the first husband as the result of a gerushin, a divorce. And if it was two consecutive deaths, two consecutive divorces, Nema Masnisin Deloka Rebbe, then our Mishnah is not following the opinion of Rebbe, Deika Rebbe, because if you are following Rebbe, Ha'amar Betrei Zimni Havya Chazaka, Rebbe holds that a woman would have a status of katlonis, of being a killer. However we understand that, it's a Gemara elsewhere, but there's a rule that if a woman's husbands repeatedly die, then she should not get married to another man. We're worried that the next man will also die. Rebbe holds that already from two such instances, we already say that there's a pattern. Now, in practical halacha, there's a lot to consider, because sometimes a woman's second husband dies of old age, for example, or one of the husbands dies because there was an epidemic or something, God forbid. There are other things to attribute this to, but if it was clear to us as assessing this situation that she might be the attributable party for the husband's dying, so then one opinion holds you need three such instances, but Rebbe holds even two is enough to restrict her from the next marriage. So then how would you understand what's going on over here? We're saying that the person of influence can marry the woman, but she already had two people die because of her. And the Gemara answers, lo, Misa agerushin vegerushin amisa, that it was not two consecutive things of the same pattern. Either she had the first husband died, and the second husband divorced, or the reverse. But it was not a pattern of two deaths or two gerushin, and that's why she would be allowed to get married to this person of influence if it's permitted, and that's what the Mishnah is ruling on. Tosfos in the top Tosfos says that there is no such rule regarding gerushin. It would be quite interesting if it was. A woman who gets divorced twice, is that a pattern called divorce? And Tosfos says, afilu niskarsha kama pa'amim, even if a woman were to get divorced numerous times, sharya linase, she's still allowed to get married. This pattern concept is limited to the death of her husband, and as I mentioned, it depends if the deaths were attributable to other things, then we wouldn't even say the pattern. But even when we do say the pattern, Tosfos holds, it's limited to the husband's dying, and gerushin was thrown in over here as a by the way, but there is no such rule, according to Tosfos, regarding gerushin. Yashar koach, thank you for joining.